It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good.
Greetings and welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show. Ray Adams here with you the whole hour. I am so excited about this because it is February the 9th. And do you know what? And I have to go back in history and look, but it was either Saturday, day before yesterday, or today that dawns on me that my Great American Golf Radio Show did its first broadcast 25 years ago. We are beginning the 26th year of broadcasting Great American Golf, my anchor show, every Saturday morning, Arizona time, 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. And this show, the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show, began a year later. So we're in the 25th year with this show. So thank you, everybody, for being with me. So many of you listening have been with me, some of you, from the very first broadcast I ever did. And I can tell you who my guests were. They were Peter Longo, the great Peter Longo, and Doug Sanders on my very, very first radio broadcast 26 years ago. Unbelievable that it's gone so quickly. So great anniversary today. Thank you all for being with me all these years. And for those of you that are new and joining these last few years, or even maybe for the very first time on this show today, thank you so much for joining and being with me. And again, Dr. Bob Denny, historian emeritus from the PGA of America, and Craig Renshaw, our noted PGA of America lifer. He's a lifetime member, and he is one of the great instructors in the country. Now located down in Florida near Dr. Bob. Everybody's down there that I know, just about. Well, my kids are still in Central Texas, and I'm here in Phoenix, but we're scattered all over the place, and we're having a lot of fun. And I want to thank Ryan Ballingy, who runs, owns, is the purveyor, and the main number one at Golf News Net. Go to golfnewsnet.com, folks. Join the 1.5 million people that go to that website every single month or more now, I understand. And 80,000 or more listen to the radio shows. All you need to do is click on the radio tab, find Great American Golf, find the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show with Ray Adams, and you're going to be finding these shows there. Then they go over to all the big audio platforms. Same thing with television. There's a TV tab. And then after they air there for a while, the show airs there, Match Play with Ray Adams. You go over to the big video platforms like Roku, and on it goes. All right. We have a lot to talk about today with the gentlemen and a very special guest later in the show, but I'll be introducing them a little bit later. And we're going to move right quickly to Mr. Craig Renshaw. What about Scottie Scheffler? I said on Saturday to a neighbor of mine, there's no way he can win. I don't care who you are, what you are, if you are the world number one. But then I hedged my statement and I said, however, if he is going to come back 8 strokes or more, it would be Scottie Scheffler to do it, world number one. Well, we got a thrill, didn't we, Craig?
We did, and he put everything together on Sunday, talking to friends on Saturday. He didn't take quite the opportunity that he had on Saturday. He had opportunities to get it to 10 under par, 9 under par, 10 under par, and he wasn't able to take advantage of it. I believe he didn't make a birdie the last 5 holes out there on Saturday, And those were missed opportunities because those are the birdie eagle holes out there, and he wasn't able to take advantage of it. And that cost him in the at the end. But maybe that also fueled him to have an opportunity to do that. And 16 would have got him in a playoff, and
Well,
that would have been what he was looking for.
you get in the playoff with Scottie Scheffler, and all of a sudden there's a stroke against you or so. He did shoot a 64 though yesterday, and I gotta say he made me eat my words, although as I said, I had hedged my statement a little bit. But Chris Goddard wins it all, and I know you like Chris, Dr. Bob. Tell me about Chris Goddard in the playoff with Hideki.
I like his name, first of all,
It's
and
Danish.
he got her up and he got it in,
Got her
and
up and in.
he was solid as can be down the stretch. The cameras weren't really focusing on him as much, which and give him all the attention, but he was just making putts. So it's six of the last 7 holes he plays, he birdies, including the playoff. It's a busts a drive down there on 18, and then just waits for Hideki. And Hideki knocks one in the water on the playoff, and has to get the drop. Hits a gap wedge, I guess it was up there up on the green. And Chris makes a 27 footer to win it. And he's proven already how good he is last year by winning the Scottish Open, playing well in the Open Championship. He's for real. He's a solid up and coming guy you're going to see a lot about.
Absolutely. And I read a statistic about Scottie Scheffler that he shoots a 64 and he ties for third. Okay. But here's the statistic that I thought was I was shocked by it. And I don't know, Bob, you might even have this as a nugget. I know we're looking for nuggets today, as we always do, and you'll give us some. But Scottie Scheffler had his 17th consecutive top 10 finish on tour, Craig. 17 consecutive top 10s. He is the first player, no, not Nicklaus, no, not Tiger Woods. He's the first player since, well, he wrote a book called The Big Three and Me. Do you remember who that might have been? Because Scottie Scheffler is the first player since 1965 to do that, along with one other guy in 1965, the Big Three and Me. Who's and me? Does anybody know?
Billy Casper.
Yep, Billy Casper.
It's Billy Casper, Craig. What about, I mean, you talk about consistency, you talk about, well, this is what it means to be the number one player in the world, and yet he is still such a reluctant hero on the PGA Tour, isn't he?
Well, I guess we could say he's reluctant, right? But I think he's got things that he's got mapped out. And I think as number one, he can pretty much control how he wants them and everything that he wants. And right now he's got everything he wants, and he's going to say, this is what I want, and I'm going to have it this way. And they're going to do that. I mean, he's setting boundaries as far as what he does, and he keeps it very straightforward. He keeps things very succinct. In a lot of ways, I wish his smile was bigger or he was a little more emotional on the golf course, but I respect what he's doing. I would rather watch him like this, if this was what allows him to play at this level, because it is really nice to be able to watch, and it's very special.
All right, let's go over to Chris Goddard up a little bit. Let's drill down a little bit with Chris. Chris is one of these players. By the way, while we're talking about the Phoenix Open and we're talking about Chris and all the other players, Chris Goddard won $1.7 million. Chump change compared to some of these other big PGA Tour events, Bob. Where am I going wrong?
Chump change. Well, yeah, it's not a signature event, but
I think
you
it
were,
ought to be, given the fact that they're
yeah.
one of the oldest golf tournaments out there, the
Yeah.
most consistent. There are players that love it. There are players that hate it and dread it and don't want to come. Others that love it and talk all about it, that it's maybe their favorite event of the year. Fans love it. World record attendance year in and year out. Largest attended golf tournament on the earth. I mean, more than US Opens, more than Masters, more than Open Championships. You're talking about a phenomena, And I don't know why they can't be a signature event and let these guys make $3 or $4 million to win this golf tournament. We're in the fifth largest city in the country. We're in probably the one, maybe the number one, or certainly within the top couple of golf meccas on the earth. Come on, what does it take the PGA Tour to do?
Some people call it the People's Open.
They do. The greatest.
Why would they make it a signature event, Ray, with everything you just said?
Well, because it is, it's, why would they make any of the others? The Phoenix
Well,
Open has
I
everything.
think in a lot of ways,
The
it
Phoenix.
says that the sponsor does not want to kick in what it needs to be. The event is highly successful. And they're already drawing a top field and getting record crowds. What advantage would it be to the PGA Tour to do that?
Well, you bring up a good point. The tour apparently says there's nothing in it for us. Waste management is already kicking in X amount. We bring in these gate receipts. We pay this amount to charity. Everybody seems to be okay with all of it. The fans are okay with it. Why do we need to throw more money at the players? But then again, why do they need to do that with the other tournaments?
Well, think back to when Tiger was in his heyday. He only went to the big events. Scott, you can call this a big event. I'm not saying right or wrong, but I'm
Well, he
just
didn't
saying
go to this one. He didn't like it.
no, but my point is you got the number one player in the world. When Tiger played an event in his heyday, did the best players come to play? They did.
Yes, they
Because they
did.
wanted to play alongside Tiger. So Tiger never went to this event. You're getting the number one player in the world playing in this event and says he likes this event, tolerates it, likes the way it is, where it suits his eye. You will continue to get good players here as long as the number one player in the world is showing up here.
Okay.
So why throw more money at it? Why do anything else?
My only answer, great rhetorical question. It's well taken. Love for the fans to weigh in that are listening, the listeners. Folks, write to me, golfadams@msn.com. Do you agree with Craig? I think they're throwing the money at the other events. Why would they do that one? If they don't do this one, why that one? Because you're getting great leaderboards in the other events as well, and they're paying them $4 million to be the signature events. I don't know. I think Phoenix should be. You're saying there's not a financial incentive for it to be, Craig. And of course, it's always only about money. And I think you're probably right.
Well, and for example, Riviera. Okay. Riviera does not want a ton of people on their golf course. They don't.
Why?
Because they don't want it destroyed by all the spectators. So they can limit the field. They'll get a few of the best golfers. They'll get all the best golfers. They raise the rates so that they only get the corporate people that they want. And their golf course doesn't get chewed up. Pebble Beach, it's the very next week. It's hard to get people in and out of that drive. So they'll make it a signature event, small crowds, high ticket prices. They're getting exactly what they want in those events. They're not going to
Yeah,
do that
you
in
know,
Arizona.
I think you're right. Chris got her up. Danish descent. Well, he's turned into a star, but his name still is not what I would call a household name. Dr. Bob and Craig, respectively, go ahead and come back with me on this. Last summer was really a telltale sign for Chris Gotterup, and I say a sign; it was a message. And I think he got snubbed at the Ryder Cup. Look at this guy trending last summer, winning the Scottish Open. Then he turns in a top three finish at the Open Championship. He's a m big, massive. I don't go on vacation as far as this guy hits his driver. And he was needed at Bethpage. I think, Bob, I know that you were disappointed. He should have been a captain's pick. Tell me where I'm going wrong.
I would have substituted him out for at least one player on that team, and we know who that's been.
That would have
And
been Morikawa.
I look at a guy that performs. He's a great lag putter, and he is also, we know he's not as strong in the wedge play as enough, but he can drive it, and he really makes putts when he has to, and that's what's impressed me the most. He had just as much of strength in the putting game, I thought, than JJ Spahn had. You know, JJ made his big putt to win the U.S. Open. We know that, but this guy has performed well, and I thought he earned his spot somewhere along the line in that team. It would have helped that at least it would help possibly in one of those
Well,
first two days, one of the matches maybe where they get whitewashed. So that's my thoughts. But
we got
I
Dream.
just liked him. So
I do too. Craig, you think he should have been on the Ryder Cup? I mean, it's always easy to go back, armchair quarterback, Monday morning quarterback, and do all of your wonderful, not you, but we all do this, a lot of after the fact stuff. Many times we state the obvious, but we all thought he should have been on the team then. I still look back and I think, and look what he's done now. He wins two. He's now won four times, and he's won two events in the last, what, 4 weeks?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think he was in consideration. I think he was in the discussions. But With the personalities and who they saw meshing with somebody, maybe he was a little more of an unknown. And while he was playing well, being an unknown, they didn't know where to really put him. Maybe he was a just so unique as far as not knowing so much about him that they really didn't know what to do with him. And
I don't
so
know what you
that
don't
put him
know
out.
about. I don't know what you don't know about him after the summer he had had. But look, with all the great names and the captains and co-captains and all of that of the Ryder Cup on the American side, they couldn't even figure out how to set the course up right for the American players.
That's
Okay. So if they can't do that, then certainly they're not going to be able to do correct captain's picks. We'll go on and on and on about that forever with that Ryder Cup. Forget about the rest of it, but we're talking about the actual team and play and the management. It just will go down in history as not our finest hour, Bob.
No, not the finest hour, no. And there wasn't a finest hour really when the way the crowd treated Hideki either yesterday. And we could hear it on our television sets
Yep.
because we weren't standing out there.
Talk about it.
I'm reading reports of people who spotted the guy that yelled on his backswing on the playoff on and also they spotted a guy who really made a stupid yell during a putt on in regulation. So Hideki had to deal with that. Other players in history obviously have to deal with the crowds and so forth and so forth. But I just wondered if it was because he wasn't American or it could be something else. But maybe just because there's a jackass out there in the audience.
Well, there wasn't just one jackass, as there were or ass. There was a number of them. One of them got his little butt banned from the PGA Tour forever, a lifetime ban for this little. I have a few names, but we'll leave it alone. This guy, and you can call his name out if you want to. It escapes me at this very moment, but he is considered an influencer, and
That just says it all right there, Ray.
it says it everything. Go ahead, Craig. I can't wait for this. Go ahead.
Well, I mean so he's an influencer. So people look up to him. He gets people to do things. This is,
Yeah.
no offense, this is the idiot that people are paying attention to. Okay, that says it all right there. That's it.
Yeah. You want to be an influencer? You got to be okay, I've got a couple of words, but I just cannot bring myself to say it. But anyway, he got himself thrown out. I guess he paid somebody $100 to yell or scream out loud on the backswing of one of the players, Bob. Is that the story?
That's the story, and they spotted him. Yep, because
So
he was running the reaction on video. I think it was pretty close to the time after all it happened.
well, these people that think that they're, and they call themselves influencers, meaning they influence other people, like the general public, to do things, say things, be things, think things, and buy things that normally the general public wouldn't do. That's what an influencer definition is. They're on their way out. I believe influencers are on their way out. I believe that they are becoming a thing of the past. I think many of them are resented by the general public. I think the general public is turning their face away from them, their listening ears away from them, their eyes away from them. I think especially those certain ones that don't know how to dress appropriately for the game of golf, and what they'd rather do is pose in Playboy or something like that. I don't know what I don't know what all the naked stuff around golf is about, but it's rude. It's not in tradition of the game. It's nothing modern. Don't give me this younger crowd and this gen whatever, Craig. We're all tired of it. I think influencers are on the way out. Where am I going wrong?
I think there'll be people that are still influencers. I think the word needs to go away. I think it needs to be, and this is my soapbox. People need to use their own brain to think, not let somebody else decide for them.
You know, some of these influencers, and I saw a report the other day, a very long, many pages of reports about what companies tend to spend on social media advertising and with influencers. And I'm telling you, for one post, a nano influencer means a small little one person that nobody's really hardly ever heard of. It's $500 per post. That doesn't include any of the creative, none of the video, none of the audio, none of the verbiage, nothing like that, Bob. But a person that most people have never heard of, going all the way up to $50,000 to $1 million for some of them for one post on social media. The average one being somewhere around $2,500 to $3,000. So they get paid. Companies are still paying them.
That's the mistake.
Well, I think it's ending, and I think companies will wise up in a lot of ways. I mean, look, if you do a radio show, you're an influencer. I've been one for 26 years because you're talking about products, you're doing product reviews. I just got my new Squares golf shoes in. I'm going to do an unboxing and I'm going to record it. And it'll be in an upcoming show, if not at the last part of this show today, or maybe this coming Saturday show, which, by the way, Great American Golf this coming Saturday morning is going to be a great, great edition of Great American Golf. It'll be a special edition. I have a special guest. We're going to have a lot of fun. And I'll probably have the unboxing of my new Squares golf shoes. And these are the spikeless shoes, absolutely beautiful shoe. A performance shoe, and right on the front of the box, change your shoes, change your game. That's Squares. And believe me, we're going to have some fun with that one. But yeah, so look, influencers are what they are. Let's see how they fare going forward in the future. But I don't really believe much is going to be coming of influencers as we go forward in the future. And I think they're going to slowly, I think they're going to fade away. And there'll be a new way of advertising. There's going to be a new fad, a new trend. There's going to be new modernization of the way that products and companies are advertised on social media. I'm just making a prediction over here as one crying in the wilderness for it to happen. And Craig and Bob, I guess you might agree with me. If you agree with me or you don't agree, either way, it's fine. Write to me, golfadams@msn.com. Golfadams@msn.com. All right, here's one for the ages. Can't wait for this one from Craig, too. This is going to be beautiful. And Bob, this is going to stir up some controversy. And he's done it, and he does it quite a bit. I love Brandel Chamblee. I really do. I like Brandel. He's very analytical. He painstakingly prepares his numbers and they back up his opinions and positions over the years. Brandel has been on my television show, this radio show. He and his wife are, I think, a couple of just great people. But because of the Golf Channel and because of the PGA Tour's money and relationships, I guess you can say that Brandel is a surrogate for the PGA Tour. Let's start there. Is that a true statement or not, Bob? Is Brandel Chamblee a surrogate for the PGA Tour as far as a spokesperson and a person that, well, touts the tour, brags on the tour, pulls for the tour? What do you think?
Well, I know Brandel and he knows me. And I also know that I've watched him for all of my career with the PGA of America. And I just think that he coyly plays the fence on these kind of types of issues. I think his saying that the Players' Championship should be a major and always is the best major Well,
Well,
okay.
we're
That's
going to get to that.
wonderful. That's wonderful. But I've seen him on a lot of different issues. I've seen him defend a tour, obviously, against Liv. I have strong opinions about the Liv situation, and I agree with him in many cases related to that. I'll leave it at that, Ray.
Okay, Craig, is Brando Chamblee a paid spokesperson, a paid surrogate for the PGA Tour roundabout due to his position and the money the tour throws at the Golf Channel?
Well, in other sports, especially your hometown sports, they call the announcers a homer. He's definitely a homer.
Well, and of course, obviously, you've got the Golf Channel, and they're so big, huge, supportive of the PGA Tour in so many different ways as well. They're both very, very big supporters of each other over the many, many years. And I think that Brando falls in the middle of that situation. And yes, it's his opinion, and he doesn't have to say it. And I don't think anybody is telling him that you need to say it, but here was his quote the other day. And I was surprised by this quote. I wasn't shocked by it because he's been alluding to it and talking about it and saying things about it now for a long time. Here's what he said. The Players, to me, stands alone and above the other four major championships, and not just a major. It is, in my estimation, the best major. Brandel, you know I love you, buddy. You know that I'll come back to you and we'll do some more work together. Hopefully you'll be on my show and we might even do some more TV together. And I think the world of you and your wife. Randall, I can't disagree with you anymore. If I could find a way to disagree with you anymore, I would do that. And that's what's beautiful about this this human event. We all have our opinions, like noses, we have one. And here's what another player said. So Brando says the player stands alone and above the other four, and not just a major. It is, in my estimation, the best major. Okay. And then another player said, I've won it. It's not Phil Mickelson. Ha!
Ray,
What about that, Craig?
well, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
It is February 9th. He said this on like February 7th, I believe,
Yeah,
February 6th.
couple days ago.
Why? Why are we bringing up the Players' Championship
Right.
and whether it's a major on February 6th?
Well, it's coming, and the thing is, this is the teaser for the players. It's
And that's
everything.
my point. I mean, it does nothing. And the only people that you ever heard saying that was the commissioner of the PGA Tour. He's the only one that's ever said this. Because Monahan and before him, I can't think of the names right now, all the people that have been in
Beeman,
charge, yeah,
yeah.
Beamon, that's right. They're the ones because they wanted to elevate the event. How many players and the ones that have actually won it have ever said that? Ever.
Right.
Nobody. No, you don't hear anybody sitting there out of nowhere just say Freddie Couples come up and go, the Players' Championship deserves to be a major. Davis Love, Players' Championship deserves to be a major. Greg Norman, pick anybody, Tiger Woods. None of them ever say it. None of them.
I don't know that I've ever heard Jack Nicklaus say it either. And
None of them.
he was part of the beginning, right, Bob?
That's correct. And there's a big clip on Tiger saying it doesn't match up in history.
Doesn't.
Here's what is shocking to me though. Now they're going to do a live from the players. They've been doing it because they want to elevate it to being a fifth major. I think you're going to hear them name it as a major. I think it's going to happen. I'm going to
It's a
be
great
sad.
golf tournament. It's a
I'm gonna
great golf tournament.
it is a PGA Tour stop. It's a great one. It's an elevated event. And for me, that is all. There's nothing more about it that's any special. It doesn't have anything of the tradition of a US Open, of an Open Championship, the PGA Championship, a Masters. How do you get up on live from at those other four majors? How do you get up on television? I don't even know that the other four majors now want that kind of representation. You're telling me that the Players is more important and it is a better major than the Masters, than the Open? Really? Okay, then probably step down from your seat during those four live froms. Go ahead and do the players, but stay away from the other floor four if that's what you think. Now, I know it's an opinion, and there may be others that share it, but Craig, you're right. Not many talk about it.
Well,
Bob
then what is so
or
what's
Craig?
Brandel's reason for bringing it up on February 6th?
Well, because it's a teaser getting ready to play up the majors and bring it up to that major level. That's what they
Which means
want.
where would he, which tells you what? Where would he have gotten that
The
push from?
tour, the
That's
tour.
the point. He loses all credibility. Like I told you the other day, he's the only one that's doing it.
It's why I.
He loses credibility with everybody when he brings this up. You
It's
want to bring it
why.
up the week of the players? That's something different.
Well, and I'm sure it will come up the week of the majors and probably before that. But the reality is that's the PGA Tour does not have a major. They've never had one. It's always been a matter of ego, pride, control, power. And each of the four majors are controlled by a separate entity. The PGA Tour doesn't have one. This is their way to get one and try to get into that major mix. Craig, I'm going to give you the final word on this subject.
PGA Tour tried to get in on the Ryder Cup. It's been a failed thing. They have something that's going very, very well with the players. It's a great golf tournament. It stands on its own for golf tournaments. Leave it alone. Just be quiet.
Bob, final word on the subject.
I agree with that. And there's only four majors since 1934. They've all established themselves in history. They've all got the credibility and the credentials and the background. And there's only a Grand Slam, and bridge is not five, it's four.
There you go. The
But
quadrilateral of golf.
Dr. Bob, could you see in another 70 years, maybe it could be something like that?
No,
No.
Okay.
no, no.
Remember, no matter what you think about him, you've got to put him in the top 10 of the greatest players out there, maybe in history. And he said, I've won it. It's not.
No,
Mickelson.
but nobody wants to care about Phil right now because he doesn't have the same,
Well,
pull that he used to. And like I said, he's the only one that said anything. Did you hear Jack? Do you hear anybody else? No. So
I
Phil
don't
wanted
think
to
they
hear
want to
himself
get in.
speak.
I don't think they want to get in the fracas. I don't think they want to get in the mix, Bob.
And they don't. They're staying out of that, which is ridiculous. Even to get into it, it's
Yeah.
ridiculous.
Well,
It's
that's like
ridiculous.
asking Jack Nicklaus, are you the greatest player in history? What's he going to say?
Yeah.
Well, let's let all the history and the legacy and the records and everybody else talk about that. I don't know. I'm not going to say anything. Neither would Tiger's not going to say that either. The greatest players in history don't say they're the greatest players in history, except for Gary Player. He said he was one of them. Okay, let's move forward here because I know that Craig, you've got to scoot, and let you introduce before you scoot, and then we're going to go to a little bit of a break for some advertising for the folks, and then we're going to come back and Bob and I will carry on. But let me give you the final word on what you're up to. What should we be working on in our game with all the beautiful weather happening around the country? Even the Midwest and the Northeast is starting to thaw out, and we're going to have some nice Midwestern temperatures there in your hometown of St. Louis and around the Midwest. We know we're going to be in the mid-80s in Phoenix and the desert locations, and Florida will be beautiful. What should we be working on, Craig?
Well, I think you should just be enjoying the weather that you got right now. And the warmer the weather, get out and take advantage of it right now. Golf is, we had a great event out in Phoenix this past week. It kind of kicks things off. We will have, another month of getting things going. We got spring training starting up. Players are reporting this week. So other sports are starting. So, football season ended yesterday. So everything's kind of in the season of change right now.
Yeah, we did end the football season. That's right. That was kind of an interesting, and I'm not a big football guy. Never have been interviewed some of the greatest players in history, Hall of Famers and what have you, over the years. But I did sit down, and I will admit that I watched the entire game. I wanted to watch it for the commercials. I was sorely disappointed in the Super Bowl commercials this year. I'm not going to go on and on about it. This is a golf show, but I was sorely disappointed in the commercials this year. Nothing really stood out. It was a lot of commercials for upcoming movies and TV shows and different things like that. There wasn't anything that really stood out to me. And the game, I mean, you could tell early on, I mean, N New England, what happened to their defensive line or their offensive line? I mean, that poor quarterback got hammered for 3 hours. No wonder they lost.
The Phoenix
Oh,
Open was more compelling.
it was much more so, especially with the playoff. So congratulations to Seattle, and they win the Super Bowl, and that's great. But it does end football, and now we're full bore into golf. Let's see if they start the golf season after the Super Bowl
And the
next year.
Olympics started last week.
And we started the Olympics. We did. And what a wonderful, wonderful opening ceremonies. So sorry for Lindsey Vonn to see her crash. And I was a little bit upset about how they continued to play that crash over and over. And then you were able to hear her screaming in pain out there on the slopes. I read about it too. That was gruesome. I don't know what anybody thinks about that, but we do congratulate Lindsay for having the guts and the skill and the mental fortitude for trying to go back for it again, even though she was injured just about 10 days ago. She tried, and that crash put an end to her Olympic career, we're fairly certain. And we had a great winner of that race, an American. The American figure skating team won the gold medal. The Americans won that. So we're off to a good start in the Winter Olympics, and I'm going to try to have one or two Olympians on with me for great Olympic moments. There we go. Craig, thanks for joining today. I know you've got to scoot
Thanks,
off
Ryan.
and get to work. Bob, let's carry on here in just a moment. I'll be back, and I bet you Bob might even have a nugget when we return, and we have some very special guests joining us.
Introducing the revolutionary T-Clip, a 4-in-1 magnetic T holder, an alignment tool, a divot repair tool, and a ball marker. It's handcrafted to provide effortless access to your golf tees, all without digging in your pockets. Visit our website, theteeclip.com, to experience the difference and order yours now. Straight Line Golf brings you the club alignment system that will change the way you play golf while reducing your strokes on the course. How many times have you bought a golf fade that fell short of success? Our system is changing the way golf is played, whether novice or professional. Our patented club alignment system is a visual aid comprised of decals attached to your club shaft and can be left on the shaft while you play. This USGA permitted system will help with great repeatable shots for great alignment and swing. Visit StraightLine.golf for more details.
Legacy Golf Resort in Phoenix. Experience the thrill of our championship golf course. Dine in the full-service restaurant at the Trails End Bar and Grill. Our golf performance center is equipped with cutting-edge technology, helping you refine your game and unlock your full potential. We're not just a golf destination. We're also the perfect backdrop for your dream wedding at our gorgeous award-winning Sierra Vista venue. Whether it's a birdie on the course or the perfect I do under the desert sun, Legacy Golf Resort creates memories that last a lifetime.
It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good.
Hi, greetings. Welcome back, everybody. Monday Golf Lifestyle Show. Ray Adams here with Dr. Bob Denny. We have some very special guests, but Bob, I bet you have a nugget.
My nugget goes up to now the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. And when I first came to Palm Beach Gardens back in 1992, I got to meet a gentleman by the name of Harry Pezzullo. He was a former vice president of the PGA of America. And in those days, vice presidents were the same title as today's district directors. So he was a man that tried to first work with the PGA of America and trying to find a home for the PGA away from Dunedin. So he picked the Palm Beach Gardens, and that, and we know the rest of the story after 1965. Well, he also had an association with Bing Crosby, and Bing Crosby recognized the strength of this man, and the friendliness was, and how gregarious he was, and he was able to include Mr. Harry Pezzullo to help organize the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. And in 1937, the Pebble Beach Pro-Am began as a Crosby clam bake back then, and it's been very strengthening. It's the ninth oldest on the PGA Tour, and it is the a very it's just always been a fun one to watch. There's a lot of great memories of celebrities being a part of it. Jack Lemmon, Bill Murray, all so many of them. But Harry was able to help the, Bing arrange and help that tournament become something important. And as a result of that, he was able to move into helping them develop it and establish a good relationship between the club professional and the entertainers.
It's such a great history there, and I know you're going to have more history for us. And we have just a very special segment right now at the end of the show, folks. I'll have a few more words to say with Dr. Bob, and then we'll sign off on this wonderful show today. But so far, I want to thank Craig Renshaw and all of you and our great sponsors. This segment is brought to you by Tour Edge Golf at touredge.com. Don't forget to go there, learn all about their new technology, their latest and greatest exotics, and the ball. The ball, it's all about the ball. Tour Edge has launched for the first time in history their golf ball. And they've got two versions of it. John Claffey, the executive marketing vice president, was on with me recently talking all about the hot launch and the difference between that and the tour style exotics golf ball. Touredge.com. Make sure you get there straight away. You know, I've known Rich Strazewski for many years. I don't know that we even want to talk about how many because it ages us. There are several friends of mine and golf colleagues of mine, and we don't talk about it. And we tease about it. But Rich and I worked together long ago when he was at the Legacy Golf Resort, and now he is and for years now has been the owner with his partner and the managing partner of Springfield Golf Resort. Springfield Golf Resort is one of my favorite places to play the game. It is a fun place. It's a pretty golf course, and there's so many things going on. And I want to welcome Rich Strazewski, the owner and managing partner, along with his wonderful partner, Morgan, from Springfield. Rich, welcome.
Hey, thanks, Ray. Good to be here, man. I know we're getting a little older, man, but somehow you just keep getting better looking. I don't know what it is.
I don't know. My wife feeds me and clothes me every day, so that's the only thing I can attribute it to. And my three daughters keep me young. So I'm surrounded by four amazing women. And like I say, I had my our, we had our kids so young that I say my three daughters raised me. And they still are doing that. It's okay, dad this and dad that and dad this and dad that. And I'm like, okay. And you know, being a married man, I do what I'm told.
I've got a couple daughters that do the same for me, man.
You know it, and
It's
there isn't a part of our body that they haven't made fun of or picked apart. I mean, there's no
a
pride, there's no ego, it's all gone, it's out the door.
blessing. No, for sure.
Anyway, well, we just came off a fantastic PGA merchandise show a couple weeks ago. Dr. Bob was there, and I want to mention to you, and you're going to introduce our wonderful co-guest here in just a moment. And of course, she's been with us before. She does such an unbelievable job. I'm just going to put that in, but I'm going to let you introduce Aaron Rich in just a moment. Don't forget, everybody, Dr. Bob Denny, the PGA historian of the PGA of America. He's the historian emeritus adjoining. And you guys all know Dr. Bob, and I know he knows who you are. Well, a long, long time ago, they started a program called the First Tee. The First Tee became almost an immediate hit. And it has been a growing phenomena in golf history. It's way elevated above a PGA Tour initiative and all the other people and those that were involved in it. But the First Tee, it does so many different things, and their core, what they teach at the core, and I know that Our guest is going to go over that with us. But the first tee of Phoenix, Rich, is something that you have been a very intimate part of now for a long time. And I've got to ask you to, first of all, tell us why you and Springfield Golf Resort has not only been involved with the first tee of Phoenix, but what does it benefit you to do that? Why? And why doesn't every course do it?
Well, you know, I mean, honestly, every course should, right?
Well, they should.
Golf is without a doubt the greatest game played, right? We all can agree on that. I think we're all on the same page.
Well, the only person that would disagree is the great soccer giant Pele, and he called soccer the beautiful game, right, Bob? Well,
it is beautiful at times, just like golf can be beautiful at times, as we saw yesterday.
I'm not sure how soccer is beautiful, but golf is. Go ahead.
But yeah, it's just an honor to be able to work with the first tee, because what the first tee does really is, you know, use golf as like the vessel to teach kids, you know, really kind of how to become good humans that persevere and work through challenges and become better versions of themselves, just like we attempt to do every time that we tee the ball up.
Yes.
You know, and the incredible coaches and volunteers that are part of the first tee, and Aaron McDonough, who I'll introduce now, is our CEO of the first tee of Phoenix, do a tremendous job reaching over 100,000 kids throughout the valley through the school programs and site locations with our course partners and different events. And they do such a great job of really taking that message that, you know, golf is a wonderful game, but it's a game that mirrors life. You know, it presents challenges, it presents opportunities, and the more you work at it, the harder you grind. Just like Goddard was saying yesterday, you have to embrace the grind of golf, you embrace the grind of life. You know, the more that we can get kids to understand that and to partake in the game and the different teachings that the first tee has, you know, the better a society really we're going to make. And that's
Isn't
what we're
that, what a
do.
Great statement.
Help Rich, to raise better humans that do more good in the world, really, is the bottom line.
My goodness, Rich, I really want you to, that is such an important statement. Would you please repeat the last two statements?
Yes. We just, it's simple, right? We want to make the world a better place around us, you know? So a key component of that is working together as a community, as a society to make sure that kids are being raised to simply be better humans, better people, better neighbors in the community, you know? And that's what the First Tee's real mission is.
What I love about that is that it speaks volumes. And I also noticed that you and I got the memo. I don't know if you're wearing Ashworth golf apparel, but we're both wearing their wonderful color. It's an orangey color. And I love your background, Rich. I love your background. But we have Erin McDonough. She is the CEO, the executive director. She is the wunderkind here in Phoenix, Arizona, of the first tee of Phoenix. And if I'm not mistaken, we were at one time, and we're right there maybe still, as the largest first tee chapter on the earth. Erin, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Ray. It's awesome to be here. Grateful for Rich and his leadership of our board and just us in general. And so I'm so glad to be here.
Where are you, Erin? Because you have a beautiful background, too. Are you live somewhere? It looks like, almost looks like Papago or something. Where are you?
This is a fake background, but it is my real backyard.
That is your backyard?
Yes.
My gosh, I want to party with them. Right, Rich?
Yeah.
What a gorgeous backyard. I mean, just beautiful. Okay. So, Erin, let's start from the beginning for the folks that are just joining the show. I mentioned at the top of the hour, it was either Saturday's Great American Golf or this show begins my 26th year with Great American Golf and the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show. And you've been on before many times, so has Rich.
Yes.
And by the way, I want to thank Springfield Golf Resort for being such a great sponsor. I mean, we couldn't do it without you, Rich, and Springfield, and we wouldn't want to. We wouldn't want
to be a part.
We wouldn't want to be without you guys. Okay, Erin, what is the first tee? What is it?
Yeah, First Tee Phoenix and really First Tee in general is we're a youth development organization. And so we use golf as the catalyst to teach, as Rich was saying, life skills, values. We call them key commitments. And our very own Greg Hall, one of our coaches here in Phoenix, came up with the acronym of the Big Cup, meaning we try to teach our kids the big cup of key commitments to become game changers. So building a positive self-identity, we have to be in it. G, growing through challenges. C, collaborating with others. Using good judgment is the U, and pursuing goals is the P. So if you think about whether you're somebody that hires future employees or what you want for your teenage, your daughters, your grandkids, we believe that those kind of five key commitments is what we're teaching our kids ages 7 all the way through high school. And we even stay in touch a lot with our alums and through our college scholarship program and other things.
Okay, now I'm going to ask you this question, and folks, get ready. Strap yourself into your chair, because you're not going to believe this one. How many kids are involved in the First Tee of Phoenix? Tell us. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's a great question.
I got my seatbelt on over here. Go ahead.
Yeah, we have two core programs. And so our core program that is in schools, we reach over 100,000 kids each year. And that's our Train the Trainer program, where we teach PE teachers to bring golf into the PE classroom, which is just amazing. You know, we're just coming off WM Phoenix Open Week, where we had Dream Day, and we saw 500 plus of those kids come out on a field trip out to the WM Phoenix Open. They got to see a celebrity trick shot show. They got to put their hands on real golf clubs and sometimes hit a real golf ball for the first time, which is just remarkable to see. When we ask that group of 500 plus kids how many of them have ever been to a golf course and if this is their first time, 90% plus raise their hands. First time to a golf course, just a remarkable opportunity for them on a field trip. And then our other program is our on-course program, and that's kind of what people think of us traditionally, which is that after school, that weekend programming where you come see us in a group setting and we teach those life skills, we teach golf skills, and we see we have about 2,200 plus kids in that program throughout the year, and which means we see about 12 to 1,300 kids a week in that program at 18 different locations across the valley.
And this is like Springfield Golf Resort has the on course along with so many others.
So Springfield actually is one of, so courses get involved with us in a variety of ways. And Springfield actually is one of our tour stops. So we actually are not out at Rich's spot for the weekly program, but we go see Rich as part of our tour, the First TPHX tour. So as those on-course kids progress through the program, they have opportunities to play in tournaments throughout the valley. I'm going to tie it back to WM Phoenix Open for us. That tour culminates in an event called the Kalani Cup. Tim Kalani was our longtime board chair, and he was a Thunderbird. And we just had that event in January. And the winning team, the Mountain Team, it's a Ryder Cup style event, desert versus mountain. And the Mountain Team was able to come out and hold the flag on the tee box at the 16 on hole 16. During Shot at Glory for the national anthem. It was just a remarkable opportunity for the kids to be in that setting. So,
Rich,
really
we have to get Aaron McDonough, our guest, and the CEO and executive director, and the master of the First Tee of Phoenix, 100,000 plus a year, 1,200 to 1,500 a week. I hear 2,000? I'm stunned. Now, these are children at any given moment. These are children that are being immersed into the game of golf, but not just the game, like Rich said, becoming a better person, becoming a citizen of society that contributes in positive, wonderful ways, where they're being taught camaraderie and they're being taught these great commitments, the Big Cup commitments, and where they fall in love with the game, and I think they fall in love with each other. I mean, it's a friendships, and these friendships are growing, and they become for life. Because if you go back to the beginning of the First Tee, we've got First Tee children that went on the different LPGA and PGA tours, right, Aaron?
Yes, it's super fun. This week we actually saw Alex Smalley. He is a first tee ambassador nationally, one of the PGA Tour professionals, and he was so gracious, came out to practice with the pros for some of our kids, plus kids from Girls Golf, JGA, and the Southwest section. We're all out on Tuesday for an event called Practice with the Pros with Alex Smalley, who is a former first tee kid himself.
Fabulous. Okay, let's take it one step further. How can we get involved in the first tee? How can we help you? Rich, I'm going to start with you because I know Erin, I'm going to have to give her another 30 minutes for this one. I'm teasing. I'm teasing. But Rich, let me start with you. How can the folks that are listening and let me redo that. Why aren't other golf courses committing to be a PGA Tour or a first tee stop weekly where the kids go, and or at least a tour stop? Why do golf courses not do this? Is there some reason? Is it kind of a big commitment? Does it interfere with the tee sheet? I mean, what's going on? We have 20 golf courses in Phoenix that are involved. Great. Why not 200? Where are you people?
I 100% agree, right? Honestly, the beautiful thing about working with the First Tee of Phoenix, even take our site here at Springfield, for example, right? Kind of a smaller range. We can't fit a whole bunch of folks out here, but we can participate in hosting fundraisers for the First Tee. All of the cool school programs that Aaron touched about, we actually fund ourselves. So it's not even costing the school districts money to bring in the golf equipment, to bring in the training for their coaches. We do that through various fundraisers that we host throughout the year, whether they're online auctions, our 100-hole putt-a-thon, or our TPC event. So we really do as an organization want to work with everybody. Every school we feel like should have a first tee school program in it that we'd be happy to provide. So if you are out there and you're listening and you know that your kid's school, you'd like to see the first tee programming there, let us know. Give us a call so we can get in touch with the PE teachers, superintendents, or principals and make that happen. But as far as the courses go, the first tee is so wonderful to work with. You can work with them in several different capacities. You can host a tour event, you could be a site location. And the beautiful thing is the first tee will work around the schedule that's convenient to the course too. So we understand, during, our peak season, our peak months, there's a lot of courses that are running, 275 to 350 rounds. The range are full from sunrise, to almost sunset.
All right.
Maybe the programming falls in a later part of the day. Maybe it falls in an early part of the day on the weekend. Aaron and the entire team at the First Tee are so incredibly flexible and passionate about what they do. They are the "we will make it happen" type of people that you want to be working with if you're a golf
Well,
course owner or operator.
100 years ago, I had, I believe, who was the first tee executive director. He was another superstar. And the first tee has just in Phoenix has just astounded me. And it has shocked me with the growth and the goodness that they do. Erin, I was at the PGA merchandise show recently. I don't know, Rich, if you or your partner got to go, but Bob was there. I was there. And I know Bob is dying for a question over here. So we're going to go to Bob in a minute. At the PGA show, I did a great video, and you can go to my YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook sites, and you can just use Match Play TV, all one word, Match Play TV, one word. And you can go to Instagram, Facebook, and my YouTube site, and you're going to see a ton of videos. At LinkedIn, there's a few, and that's at Ray Adams. So simple, Ray Adams. Okay, if you go there, you're going to see 30 different videos that I shot on the showroom floor over the 4 days from demo day through Friday. One of them was with a company called Snag Golf. I love Snag Golf. Do you love Snag Golf, Aaron?
Sure do. Yes, we're super appreciative. Snag is how we are able to bring golf to that 100,000 kids. It enables our PE teachers to be flexible for the space and the time that they can, whether it's outside or inside. We also use it in our clinics. We're, in addition to bringing life skills to as many kids as possible, we want to make sure every kid feels like they belong at a golf course, and no family in the Phoenix area feels that they're left out of the game of golf. So this year, our initiative is to be in community spaces that golf has not traditionally been in. And SNAG actually helps us do that. So we can set up some fun golf shots, chipping and putting at, you know, in a field, at a park, wherever, inside a gym, to help folks take their first step towards golf.
Just love SNAG. And it goes, the history of SNAG is something else. We don't have time for that, but we did a great video, folks. Go to my YouTube site or Instagram or Facebook, wherever it is, and look up Match Play TV, and you're going to see me in the showroom floor a couple of weeks ago with the owner and one of the founders of Snag Golf, the other founder, Wally Armstrong. Wally Armstrong mm-hmm. played on the PGA Tour. They used to say of Wally, after he retired from the tour and went into inventing and creating kids' golf clubs and the different things that they use to learn the game, they used to say Wally invented golf. And that's even in the video too. So Wally Armstrong, we thank you for creating Snag Golf along with your partner, Terry. And Bob, I don't know, do you have a question for Aaron or Rich?
Well, this is Black History Month. And I just wondered if you could sort of speak to how many of the 150 chapters across the United States and the 3.1 million, 3.3 million they advertise are in the first tee. How are they doing with our diverse populations? And I'm speaking of the Black population.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. So I think what you touch upon is that we're part of a larger network of First Tee, but we're each individual chapters. So our Phoenix chapter here locally is managed and run as we can do it here in Phoenix versus that kind of global network that we're involved in. We get the advantage of the curriculum that comes out of that, the safety, the learning, some additional funding. We're super grateful to be a part of a network. So I won't speak to the full 3.1 and where we are with our global network, but our here locally with First Tee Phoenix, the youth population, we track closely what percentages. And so we have between 5 and 6% of our local youth are African-American, and we have about 4% of our kids. So that's actually part of our initiative, is to, between now and 2028, match or exceed the diversity of our youth population. So we look at that pretty closely. That's why we actually started here for Phoenix. As you can imagine, we have nearly 30% of our local youth are Hispanic Latino, and we only had about 11% when we started down this path of our kids in our program, of that 2000, those 2000 kids. And so we really have set forth to increase the number of Hispanic Latino kids in our program by about 500, so that we can grow that number. I told you, Ray, you're impressed by 2200. Our goal has set, our team has set a goal of 2800 by 2028, which means we're going to see about 1500 kids a week. We're super excited about that, but that growth is primarily in those diverse populations. We are targeting both Hispanic Latino as well as our African American populations. Girls, actually, we want to bring our number up from about 33% closer to 40% girls. And then lastly, our Native American population, working closely with Salt River and Gila River and other communities. So wonderful. That is an important part of our mission.
Wonderful, wonderful that you're doing that with the Gila River community there. That's fabulous. What is the mix, Aaron? Did you just say 40% are young ladies and 60% are the boys? That's the boys and girls mix, 60-40?
Yeah, that's our goal. We're at about 33 to, we hover between 33 and 35% girls currently. We want to get closer to that 40%, which is our goal for 2028.
Okay.
We have the privilege, as you know, is having the largest girls golf program in the country here. Corey does such a great job.
Corey Mathis is amazing.
Yeah, in other markets, girls golf is actually part of First Tee. So we're a little bit different, but we have such a great partnership with Corey that our girls can come and go. They might come to see us weekly and then go do her tournaments on the weekends and vice versa. It's just a great partnership.
Fantastic. All right. Now, I know, Rich, that we've talked about filming a TV show, Match Play with Ray Adams TV show there at Springfield. We need to do that.
Yes, let's have some fun.
But I don't know. Aaron has begun to move me, sway me. Maybe we film it in her backyard.
That's pretty gorgeous.
Yes, yeah. I mean, I'm over here saying, look at how beautiful that is. But look, Springfield's gorgeous. What a great shot, a beauty shot of the golf course. A lot of fun with you guys. And, you know, we've just had, look, golf is a game for everybody. Golf is inclusive, folks, and it includes you. Don't ever think that you're not a part of golf or that you cannot be a part of golf. It doesn't matter if you're a child, a teenager, a person just getting into the game, one that's played it forever. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter what religion you are. It doesn't matter what your skill sets are or aren't. Golf is a game that includes everybody, and that means golf includes you. Bob, if you have one final comment for the folks, I'm going to let you do that. Rich and Aaron?
Well, I just think about your subject of the first tee, and I think about one of the most accomplished players I ever got to meet. It was from the University of Illinois, Scott Langley, and he was a product of the first tee of Greater St. Louis, and it speaks for the opportunities that the first tee brings, and I applaud all those that work with them, as I applaud other programs such as Midnight Golf in Detroit and other places. And I think about what it brings to the opportunity for those who may not find a career in golf, but can always go back to golf.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, there they are. Rich Strazewski from Springfield Golf Resort, representing one of the great courses in the Phoenix area. Folks, if you have not played Springfield, for shame, really. Go sit down with yourself and think about it. You've got to go play Springfield Golf Resort. It's just a great place to go play. And Rich, it's a little bit of an executive course, right? It's a shorter course. You can play it in about 2.5 hours or so.
Yeah.
Unless you're like me and you play it in three. But with that said, you know, because I like to hang out over the putts and, you know, chat around a little bit, tell a story here and there. I mean, I'm known to do that on an occasion.
Time to time.
But we have a lot of fun at Springfield Golf Resort. And how do they get in touch with it, Rich, to go play the course?
You know, the best thing to do right now is just to head straight to our website at springfieldgolfresort.com. You can look up all the tee times, all the offerings that the clubs do. And we go well beyond golf. You know, we have a lot of fun with our restaurant, Grill 61. We have Monday trivia nights, bingo on Tuesday, live music Wednesdays, Saturdays. We just got done with a huge Super Bowl party yesterday. That was way more fun and exciting than the actual game. And
the game kind of was a yawner.
Yeah, it's just a good time. You know, we love this community out here. We love being in this Chandler area, and everybody's invited to just come on down and have fun. If you're just looking to enjoy your day on the golf course, this is the place for you.
Springfield Golf Resort, one of our favorites here in town and one of our great sponsors of this show, Great American Golf Radio and Match Play with Ray Adams TV. We will be filming there, I'm sure, very soon in 2026. Aaron, let me give you the final word. How do folks get involved with the first tee? Where do they go? What do they do?
Yeah, thank you, Ray. Whether you want to volunteer, become one of those mentors that's so special for our kids. If you want to join us on a fundraiser, Rich is helping the 100-Hole Challenge. Come learn about that. You want to donate your used equipment, you're done with something, Golf Gear for Good program. Or most importantly, if you've got a kid or a grandkid, you want to get into golf and learn those life skills, whether they've been playing golf since they were three and they just want to come be a part of a group and make it fun, firstteephoenix.org. You can find all of those things there. So firstteephoenix.org, all spelled out.
There we go. There's your golf resort and there is your firstteephoenix.org. I can't imagine a better segment, Bob. And I want to thank both Aaron McDonough, the executive director, CEO, and Rich Strazewski. Rich, I started Americanizing your name. I guess I finally needed to do that because I was pronouncing it the old world way, and you're probably happy that I'm doing it the right way. Rich Strazewski, who is operating and owning with his partner Morgan, Springfield Golf Resort. Thank you two for being with us today. What a great segment! This is fun. I love this.
Thank you both. We appreciate you having us.
All right, there they are, Rich and Aaron. Bob, let's you and I get to. Thank you both very much. And Bob, let me give you the final word. We're going to get off to finishing the show here. What do the folks need to be doing this week? What's coming up very quickly? You've got a PGA Tour happening. You mentioned AT&T Pebble Beach. We've got the Champions Tour heading to Naples, and the LPGA is off another week until they head over to China, correct? Is that right?
Thailand.
Thailand. Mm-hmm. There we go. Mm-hmm. We're going to Thailand for some Thai food. That's going to be great.
And meanwhile, Patrick Reed is being rich until the suspension's over with in September. So he's doing really well in the Middle East.
Well, we forgot to mention Patrick, and I'm glad you brought him up. Patrick Reed again wins over there on the DP World Tour. He won only 437,000, though. I mean, how is the DP World Tour even remotely functioning with purse payouts like that for first place? That was a big win for Patrick. He's won now two out of the last three tournaments, and he lost in a playoff last week, or he'd have had three in a row. Mm-hmm. I mean, and he only wins $430,000, but Patrick Reed is thrilling to watch. I love Patrick Reed's game. He's a fabulous player. He was Captain America when he was on the Ryder Cup. Go ahead. What's up with those weak purses?
Well, that's one of the conundrums that the DP World Tour has had to exist on for many years. They survive on a lot of different ways and pockets, but I can tell you that they're still very solvent. They just don't have the major attractions at the current time. They pick up steam during the way, and some of the women who are not in the LPGA calendar right now, Ray, they're in Riyadh playing the Aramco series. So okay. The Saudis fund the DP World Tour and the European Women's Tour quite well, and they keep them in good shape. If those people are willing to get their little passports and adjust and deal with all the problems that come with that travel.
All right, there he is, Dr. Bob Denny, our PGA of America historian emeritus, adding to the show like no one can. We want to thank Craig Renshaw, our PGA lifetime member, our other co-host, for being with us the first half of the show. Thank you all so very much for listening and for being a part of the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show and Great American Golf, the anchor show, coming up this Saturday morning. Make sure you stay tuned. We'll be in the middle of the Pebble Beach, and we'll be in the middle of some other great golf around the country. I'm going to have a very special guest for you. The Olympics are going on all week. Hey, enjoy your golf. Enjoy your Olympics. And stay cool out there if you're in the hot desert. Stay warm out there if you're in some little bit of a cold temperatures. But get out there and chip and putt at least for a while, if not play some great golf. And make sure you go to touredge.com and Ashworth Golf Apparel. Ashworth Golf Apparel. You want to go to Ashworth Golf Apparel and find out all about the wonderful golf apparel. Folks, if you're wearing Ashworth Golf Apparel, you're wearing part of golf history. And lots more to come. Have fun, and we'll be with you back here soon on Golf News Net and all the other big platforms.
Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many now offering natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Jack Nicklaus agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Time when you buy and book online at DiscountTire.com. Did you know that Discount Tire now sells wiper blades? Stop by for a free air check or tire inspection and ask an associate about wiper blades today. And remember, if ever you're not satisfied with one of our tires, please feel free to bring it back. Thank you. Discount Tire.
Let's get you taken care of.